to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. January is Glaucoma Awareness Month, and tonight on this Medical Monday, we are continuing our conversation about it. My guests are Dr. Leslie Jones, Interim Director of Ophthalmology and Glaucoma Specialist at Howard University Hospital, and Dr. Edwin Marshall with the National Eye Health Institute's Education Program. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Michelle, calling from Upper Marlboro. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My 84-year-old dad struggles with keeping his pressure down. What can be done to help him keep that down, you know, things that he needs to be doing or what he needs to not do to keep his pressure down?
Dr. Jones?
With eye pressure, it's really you're taking your eye medications as directed, keeping up with that schedule, which is most important. Often folks always ask me, well, are there certain things I should eat? Are there certain exercises or tasks I should avoid? Not really things that have been scientifically proven. So if you can just encourage your dad to keep to a schedule with the medications that he, has been prescribed, I would say that is the most important thing in addition to the regular things we do to stay healthy, eat well, get some regular exercise.
About the eating, and I wanted to talk about this before I let Michelle go. Talk to me about carrots. Is that a wives' tale, or do they really help with eye health?
Well, you know, we did have sponsored by our tax dollars a major study looking at nutrients and how they affect the eye and diseases of maturity. Mm-hmm. And the main things that were looked at were cataract development. Another serious entity, the macular degeneration, which causes a lot of blindness in people over age 60, and in glaucoma. And most of the evidence showed that a certain amount of vitamins, something called the AREDS formulation, is helpful in preventing a certain bad form of macular degeneration, but there wasn't much about nutrients reducing cataract development or stopping glaucoma.
So the jury's still out on the carrots thing?
Carrots are good.
Yeah, you know.
They won't hurt.
Okay. Thank you. Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. 202. Yes, please.
On,
go right ahead, Dr. Marshall.
On the medication, since glaucoma in the early stages at least tends to not have symptoms, people tend to feel that maybe they don't need to take that medication any longer. And, you know, that's not true. So I want to kind of reinforce Dr. Jones' statement about making sure that they adhere to that dosage regimen, even though they may think that, there's nothing, there's no reason to take the medication because, they have no pain, the eye may not be red, but you have to continue to take that medication as prescribed.
And I would actually add, and thank you so much for that comment, Dr. Marshall, that the drops actually give you symptoms, right? You put a drop in the eye, it stings a little, your vision's blurry for a few minutes. So you're really asking someone to stick with a regimen where they may not feel the symptoms of what's the core disease is, and the treatment sort of gets in the way a little.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Marshall, you're an optometrist, correct? And Dr. Jones is an ophthalmologist. Can you, I'll let you take this one, Dr. Marshall. First of all, what's the difference, and should patients of optometry expect that their optometrist can begin to notice the signs of glaucoma?
Thanks for the question.
Sure.
A major difference is that, ophthalmologists do go to medical school and will have usually a board certification, following that. Optometrists go to optometry school, which is 4 years after undergraduate education, some of which will be board will take a board certification after that as well. But basically, both optometrists and ophthalmologists are able to diagnose glaucoma, can perform a comprehensive eye exam, and advise the patient on, the best management, you know, of their disease. So going to an ophthalmologist or an optometrist should be able to take care of the needs of the patient.
Okay. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tommy, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Tommy. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call, and
sure
good evening
thing.
To you all. My question is, when taking the glaucoma test, is there an alternative that an optometrist can use other than the puff of air in the eye, which I have major problems with?
Yes, there are a number of ways to measure eye pressure. Generally, a puff of air test can be done. Tonometry can also be done by applanation, which simply means a little instrument touches the eye and causes a small change in the surface of the cornea, and the force that it takes to cause that change is what we are measuring as the pressure inside the eye. There are some now handheld instruments that can applanate very quickly, an instrument called a tonopin. There's something called an eye care tonometer. Those things you can search on the internet, but those are ways that you can check a pressure, and it may be quicker and less invasive, or may not put you off as much as that air blowing in your eye.
Okay. Tommy, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mr. Rice, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Mr. Rice.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I want to ask the doctor. I'm a Vietnam vet. I've been going to the VA hospital, and they're telling me that I have glaucoma in one eye, and if I don't do this and don't do that, I might lose sight in my other eye. I have very little sight in my right eye. I'm taking an eye drop every day as much as I can, but sometimes I forget. And then they tell me that it's best that if I can't take my eye drops on the regular, that I need to have the laser surgery, but still after that, I'm going to have to still take the drops. So what's the purpose of taking the laser surgery?
Right. Often, if you're having primary open-angle glaucoma, we will do a laser called laser trabeculoplasty, and that puts laser energy, very light energy. In fact, if you put it on your skin, you'd barely feel it. But it puts energy in the drainage system of the eye, and that causes it to allow the fluid to drain better from the eye. And high eye pressure is often caused by fluid not draining so well from the eye. And like we said, that's a major risk factor for glaucoma. So the laser may work in conjunction with the drops to get an overall lower pressure in your eye that may keep the disease from progressing quickly.
Okay.
So is there a possibility that this glaucoma in one eye can transfer to the other eye?
Glaucoma is generally a bilateral disease. It's just asymmetric, meaning often one eye is affected much more than the other. But if the eye that's not so affected is not watched well and treated well, it often can progress on and it can become worse. It can deteriorate.
Okay.
So you're suggesting that to take the laser surgery?
Well, I have not examined you personally, but I would tell you, as a glaucoma surgeon, I often make the kind of recommendations that your doctors have.
Okay. Well, Mr. Rice.
Maybe I'll come to Howard University and see you.
I would like to see you.
And get a second opinion.
Okay.
And certainly, Mr. Rice, second opinions, I'm sure that, you know, physicians would always, always, you know, recommend that. And certainly Dr. Leslie Jones can be found at Howard University Hospital. But certainly good luck to you. And thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Vincent calling from College Park. Vincent, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year
to your guest. I had glaucoma for about, I don't know, 5 years. Probably had it much longer. Whenever someone told me to check this out for glaucoma, I didn't. So I probably could have avoided the problems I have now because I didn't check it earlier. So one thing I want to tell your callers is that as soon as you think or somebody says something, get a check, because the sooner you get a check, the better. That's the first part. The second thing is that they're talking about two kinds of surgeries, and I wanted to know which surgery was best, and if so, why. I got my levels down to around 11 and 12 now. With the eye drops, I'm taking Lumigan, Comegan, and Azop, and that's been pretty consistent for the last year or so. But I don't do well on the field test, and my doctor told me on Friday that she thinks that maybe my left eye is getting worse. But that's probably because I try to cheat on the field test, so I got to do that better. So we're trying to do one eye at a time, so that it's not as taxing on me because I get tired.
Well, let me see if Dr. Jones can at least address the surgery's question as well as and there was another point that you mentioned. But please,
that's good enough because I'm coming to see Dr. Jones shortly. But,
okay, very well.
But I'd like to hear her answer on the surgery question.
I would absolutely say that every case is individual. And so I'm going to give you a general description of the surgical options that are out there. So there is laser surgery for glaucoma. And if you have the most prevalent form, primary open angle glaucoma, as I described early, we often perform something called laser trabeculoplasty to lower eye pressure. There's another subset of glaucoma called angle closure, and we often will put an iris, an opening in the brown part of the eye called an iridotomy to help prevent angle closure in an eye.
And what does that mean?
So basically, angle closure is something, or your risk for it is something we determine only from that eye exam. We do something called gonioscopy, which is a sophisticated term for saying the doctor places a lens on the eye and directly looks at the area where fluid drains out of the eye. And so there can be a lot of space in that area, or it can be very narrow and have a risk of closing off. If it closes off, that can cause a quick elevation in pressure, very high pressures, and it can lead to a quick deterioration in vision. Primary open angle glaucoma, on the other hand, is usually a slower progressing disease. So angle closure, like I said at the top of the program, there are many different forms of glaucoma. Angle closure is one of them, and the exam can help determine your risk for that.
Well, thank you so much, Vincent, for giving us a call and sharing your thoughts with it. And I appreciate your time. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Marshall, Vincent mentioned a visual field assessment, and he jokingly spoke about cheating on it. First of all, what is it? What does that entail, and what does it look for?
Well, glaucoma tends to start with side vision in the periphery. And so one of the reasons that a person may have vision loss and not be aware of it is because it's beginning to rob sight on the sides, and eventually will close in, and a person may have what's referred to as tunnel vision. It appears as if they're looking through a tunnel. The visual field test essentially is a test of sensitivity of the visual field. It measures vision loss that can be occurring within a person's visual space. And a person may not be aware that there is a loss, but the test is sensitive enough to be able to detect the vision loss and be able to document the location of that loss and the severity of that loss. It's also used to monitor the progression of glaucoma to see if, in fact, it's getting worse. I might also add that on Vincent's comment that he was told to have his eyes checked earlier than he actually did, there tends to be also an hereditary component particularly to open-angle glaucoma.
Well, Dr. Marshall, let me hold you there because I've got to take a break, but I'll bring you back on the other side and we can talk about that hereditary component. I need to take a break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're discussing glaucoma tonight. Renee and Jason, you're next after the break. The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about eye health, specifically glaucoma. Dr. Marshall, you were talking about a hereditary aspect of glaucoma. Please finish your point.
Yes. There tends to be an hereditary component to open-angle glaucoma, which is the majority of the cases. And for that reason, anyone, you know, who has a family history of glaucoma places them in that higher risk category. So they should be particularly aware and cognizant of the fact that, you know, they are at higher risk and should have, you know, have an eye examination at least, you know, every 1 to 2 years because of that increased risk. Again, the fact that, you know, we may not know that we have the disease, and if you don't have it checked, then it's not going to get diagnosed, and by the time it does get diagnosed, you may have vision loss. I just want to make the point that those who have a family history, and it's very, very important to know your family history of eye health. So, you know, talk to your mother, your grandmother to see, because I've had patients who have told me that, you know, their grandmother had glaucoma, their mother had glaucoma, but they didn't see any reason for themselves to go in and have an eye examination. So I want to make sure that your listeners understand the fact that it is very prevalent within the African-American community. If grandma had glaucoma, make sure you get in and have that comprehensive eye exam.
I want to go, before I go back to the phone, I just got a Facebook question, and part of what was asked in this Facebook question you just spoke about, Dr. Marshall, but I want to have Dr. Jones speak about the surgery part of it. And Daryl is asking, he says, is asking, is glaucoma hereditary and is the eye pressure related to high blood pressure? I'm diabetic and get examined every year, already having cataract surgery, wondering how much more of a risk I may have for glaucoma.
So certainly if you have a family history of glaucoma, if you've already been diagnosed, then, I mean, that's, you have the disease and you have to be monitored. And often the surgical options that are out there include lowering eye pressure with what's called a filtration surgery. And that's basically creating another route for the fluid to bypass the eye's actual drain and get out of the eye. And that can be done with the eye's own natural tissue, something called trabeculectomy. It can be done with a drainage device in the eye. There's an express glaucoma implant. It can also be done with larger shunts that actually have a tube that goes inside the eye, and fluid can flow through it and out to another part of the device. And all of this fluid flows under the conjunctiva, and then and that's the clear skin of the eye.
Okay.
That can get pink when people call you pink eye. It's
okay.
That outer layer of the eye. So the fluid then can go through the conjunctiva, just like when we sweat, fluid comes through our skin.
Mm-hmm.
Fluid can get out that way.
Okay. Daryl, I hope that she was able to help you with that. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jason calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jason.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Good evening
mm-hmm.
to you, Mr. Fisher, and to your guest. My question is regarding treatment for glaucoma. I've had glaucoma in one eye for over 16 years. And as a result, I've lost that eye due to glaucoma. But in the process, I had a cataract removed, and that was done. And over the years, it built up an inflammation, and I had to use a prednisone to arrest the inflammation. And I was told that the prednisone itself, over prolonged use, was the direct cause of my glaucoma. Now I find myself in my left eye, which is my good eye, I'm getting glaucoma in that. And I've been to the doctor, and they've given me pressure medicine to arrest the or to reduce the pressure in the left eye. Problem is that the medicine that I've been using is causing side effects. I'm having, the eye gets really swollen and itches and burns, and I can't use that. And my question is there an alternative treatment for that other than the drops to reduce the pressure in the eye?
Absolutely. And so some of the surgeries that I just discussed, where we give fluid another route to leave the eye, can mm-hmm. definitely help you. I could say in your case you might be considering cataract surgery in this other eye as well.
I've had that done already.
You've had that done already, right? Mm-hmm. So surgeries to lower pressure in the eye, you should carefully consider. And those would be trabeculectomy, an express drainage device, a shunt or implant placed in the eye to lower eye pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your phone call, Jason, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I was calling because maybe about a year and a half ago, I started having some vision disturbances. So I went to the doctor, and they told me my pressure was extremely high. So they gave me an iridotomy. I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly. And I just wanted to know, what's the chances of the pressure reoccurring? And is there, like, follow-up that I should be doing since I've had this iridotomy?
Absolutely. Having an anatomically narrow angle or being at risk for developing angle closure is the main indication for having the iridotomy that you had. And I would say to you that you require at least annual follow-up to have a dilated exam where we look through those pupils and examine that optic nerve to make sure it is not being damaged. Because you've had a time where the pressure was very high in the eye, it may not have to be so high in the future to cause damage to your nerve, and you should definitely have regular follow-up.
Okay. Renee, thank you so much. Dr. Marshall, talk to me in the last few minutes or so about lifestyle changes, particularly for the Black community, that may help improve their eye health related to glaucoma.
Well, I think, there are healthy tips that we all should follow, whether we are at higher risk for glaucoma or not. We talked about diet. We should all, make sure as best as we can, eat a nutritious diet. The green leafy vegetables are always good. And that then leads us into maintaining a healthy weight. Because obviously, weight can affect us in many ways, including diabetes. And Dr. Jones mentioned earlier, diabetes is one of those conditions that can exacerbate the risk for glaucoma, and in fact, increase its severity. So, if a person has diabetes or hypertension, for that matter, they should make sure that their diabetes and their high blood pressure are both under control, because if not, they can increase complications. Tobacco, smoking, don't smoke. If you do, quit. Is always, good advice. And protective measures, wearing protective eyewear, particularly if one is involved in athletic events or outside, cutting the grass, because as I mentioned earlier, trauma to the eye can also potentially, cause glaucoma as well as other problems with the eye. So, those are things that we can do to help reduce, you know, the risk not only of glaucoma, but of other complications that can affect our eyes.
And real quick before I close, Dr. Jones, in the removal of a cataract, first of all, when a person has a cataract, what do they see or not see, and what does the removal of a cataract do?
So essentially, we describe cataract as clouding of the lens, and it is. And it can affect someone's ability to even tell whether they got a blue or black sock on, to drive at night when those glaring headlights are coming at you from the opposite side. I mean, it can affect what you're looking at when you're reaching for this spice to cook or not. It can affect your activities of daily living. So when it does and it limits what you're able to do, that's when you should consider surgery. And surgery is essentially something where we make very delicate, fine incision in the eye, place some instruments in that can break this cataract up into manageable or smaller pieces and lightly vacuum it out of the eye. And the cataract or the lens of the eye does work to bend light and focus the eye so that we can see the images that we see. So we have to replace it with something. So an intraocular lens is generally placed in the eye at the time of cataract surgery.
Wow, that's amazing to me. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Leslie Jones and Dr. Edwin Marshall, for sharing this fantastic information about cataracts and other eye health. And we certainly hope that our listeners can take that to heart and make sure that they can do whatever they need to do to make sure that their eyes are as healthy as possible. So, again, thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say it's always good to talk to a good Kappa brother.
and happy anniversary and Founders Day to you, Dr.
Thank
Marshall.
You. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Fanoop to you. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, January 9th, 2017. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or at Twitter at H Fisher, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR.